Welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazaniso, and today we're joined by two brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hi.
A big hello to Sophie Hollinger. Sophie is the artist who's translating math, music, and emotion into motion. Sophie makes the complex feel intuitive, turning abstract theories and raw emotion into vivid moving art. Whether it's NASA or indie games, she brings curiosity, craft, and a touch of chaos to every frame. Welcome, Sophie.
Thank you.
Also, a big welcome to Michal Zizel, the space architect turning futurism into action. Michal helps organizations design for bold, believable futures on Earth and beyond. Known for transforming abstract vision into pragmatic systems, she's who you call when you need structure, not just science fiction. Welcome, Michal.
Hi, thank you.
This is AI is a topic that we have on the podcast every week. And AI is now creating actors, not just digital avatars. And we've seen this in several films where they've sort of, you know, filled in some gaps with digital clones, but performances that come from the AI themselves. They've sparked real debate about art and agency and authorship when machines are no longer just sort of part of the process, but the collaborators, or even the competition in this case, in creative work. We kind of have to, like, have we gone too far, or are we sort of like on the precipice of, like, we haven't gone far enough? As makers and doers, and we're all makers and doers in the world, how worried should we be when AI really starts stepping into the studio as, you know, music artists, or the screen as actors, or even the script? We see endless writing that comes from GPTs. Have we gone too far? Are we not gone quite far enough yet?
My initial thought about hearing about this is always kind of worry and shock and fear. Is like as a creative and an artist, working in film, and just a creative person. But I don't know. I think specifically with this and the Tilly Norwood situation is like how design and innovation in tech are usually used to solve problems. And I feel like this specific one is more like creating problems of, like, it is creating conversations, which are important to have us navigate. Okay, what is important as humans? What is the role of creativity? What is the role of art? It's a hugely, very deeply existential issue, or like questions that brings up, people as creatives and doers as opposed to consumers only. And when there's all these other problems to solve, using that technology to kind of gear towards those, like, there's so many amazing things and it is deeply fascinating. So I don't want to like reject it in any whole sense. But how do we have it work with creatives? And yeah, I don't know. It is scary. And there is a novelty, of course. A lot of people bring up, oh, like, well, there's too many fingers, or you can tell there's like a lot of inconsistency issues. But I know that those are going to be ironed out, especially as people say more like, well, this is weird with it. People are like, okay, yeah, so I will just change that. Like, we'll just focus on those things. It's like a lot of feedback from people. But as the uncanniness kind of gets smaller and smaller, then I think it becomes more about novelty and people going back to process, like knowing about process and backstory. I mean, within animation, stop motion is still like a really big medium, because people are so fascinated on like, okay, what can people do? And within conceptual art, it's like, oh, this drawing took 10,000 hours, or took so many different people, or took, you know, it was a global team that did this. People are still really interested in that. Not everyone, obviously, but it is a huge portion of people, not just creatives, that are interested in the process. So I think it's more as it becomes, okay, well, if default a lot of art is AI generated, then more people will be interested in creative, like in human made, like art for humans by humans. Whereas before that was the default, of course. No art was just created on its own with digital actors completely. So I have a hope that it will find its correct lane and the correct place, and that artists will be able to do their things, humans will be able to enjoy and create, and there will still be a role for that. But I think there will be a shift in people just like enjoying purely AI art for art's sake, being interested in it.
I love that viewpoint, because I think I was on TikTok. I'm not going to pretend I was anywhere else. I was on a TikTok and someone was saying that their hope for AI is that it reaches the point where it does become where you can't actually tell the difference. And that then springboards people into wanting to then get in touch with human authenticity again. So because it gets to the point where it's just like everything is AI, and that just means that as humans, we will just swing back to go, actually, I just want to, like, I want the authentic thing. I want to look at, like, what can we recreate, as what can people create, communities create? How do we go back? And so, like, I thought that was a very optimistic view. Hopefully, where it will go is that it will sort of go to that point where it's like, we have enough AI now. Let's just, like, swing back towards human creativity. So, I'm with you on sort of like slightly leaning towards optimistic, and that it'll swing back that way.
When I think about any technological advances, especially AI, I think about what it brings to the table, what it can do that humans can't do, and what it can't do, what it cannot replicate. And, you know, on one hand, if we look at AI, maybe they can, you know, work overtime, be superhuman without the costs of special effects. On the other hand, they don't have the authenticity, the emotional connection. They are not able to be original. They are based on things that are existing. So, and they lack the special human factor that differentiates actors. Like, for example, if you give the same role to Sharon Stone or to Meryl Streep, both amazing actors, it will be different. How will it look if it will be by AI? And also, if it's AI, it's not the AI. There's something behind it. There's someone behind it. So who is that someone? How do you operate? Is it something that every studio is able to create their own AIs? Or are there people who are creating AI actors that are then signed or to different things? Like, how does that work, and who is behind it, and what do they give? So I feel like it's the same as in many different professions, like in architecture. Now people are like designing their houses and are, you know, or doing like decorating by themselves, and it's amazing and it's easier. Cool. The question is, now I think people will start to understand more nuance of the different artistic professions, and you know, what you can get if it's from AI versus what you can get if it's from a person, and what you can get from a very highly qualified person versus a not so qualified person. You know, like those nuances, I think, will get more clear, or we'll be able to start detecting these things if we care about maybe by AI versus by human, will be like two different genres of levels of quality, or different genres of like film or things like that, because you can do different things with those different players. So I really, I'm in the team of not being so scared of it. I'm just, let's dissect it. Let's look what they can, how AI can help us, and how they can, we can help AI. We can work together, how we can differentiate ourselves. How can we make ourselves as artists, as designers, as actors, become better at our craft? So we'll be more desirable, we'll be more relevant, or we'll stay relevant.